Deadpool and Wolverine is coming out, or depending on when you watch this video, it's already out. And it's one of the movies I'm most excited for 2024. I'm honestly a big Ryan Reynolds fan, and I've heard he speaks a lot about his struggles with anxiety. So I thought, why not make a video listening to what he talks about with his anxiety and really breaking things down so that hopefully it can better help you on your journey too. So let's get started.
Oh, mate, you've been pretty open with your anxiety struggles, which I really applaud you for. Yeah. Do you find being a dad makes it better or worse?
I think it makes it better because your focus is less on yourself and more on your kids. I know you know that too. Yes. And
that's true. It's not just having kids, but anytime you're more focused on something that's more important than how you're feeling, that helps you on the recovery journey. When people are struggling with panic attacks, scary intrusive thoughts, the physical symptoms, the weird emotions, if they have nothing else to focus on and they're 24/7 focused on how they're feeling all the time, what that does is that's almost like having a magnifying glass. It's almost like you're focusing more and more on the anxiety. And what that does is that makes it grow. Now, I do want to highlight that this is also important that you don't use this as a form of distraction. Don't start having kids all of a sudden because you are struggling with anxiety and having kids is going to help. That's not the point. The point is that once you realize how to respond, then choosing to make other things more important.
Then I love that I have anxiety. I love that I've had anxiety because when I see my kids experiencing some of that, which is probably genetic, yeah. I know how to address it in a way that is compassionate. Yeah. I know how to address it in a way that actually allows them to feel seen in that anxiety.
So there's a couple of things he said here. Let's break it down. The first part is the fact that he says he loves that he has anxiety. At first, it might have seemed like, you know, a crutch or a wound. And now, you know, it's like his staff of wisdom. And the focus is that it's a good idea to reframe your anxiety. And I felt the same way. When I was dealing with anxiety, I was asking myself, why is this happening to me? There were times that I thought I had something medically wrong and I was hoping there was something medically wrong. Because at least if there was something medically wrong with me, because I dealt with a lot of physical symptoms, that at least the doctors could fix it. But if you just told me it was anxiety, well, there's nothing to do. And I always was hoping that there was something else going on. And I'm so glad now that it was just anxiety. And not only did I come out of it, but I learned so much from it. Looking at it like, oh, anxiety is something that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemies or anything like that, I understand where that's coming from, but it's important to understand that this is a great opportunity for you. And everybody that I have seen recover always says the same thing. I'm so glad this happened to me. Check out the recovery stories on the channel. We have so many recovery stories, every single one. Every single person will tell you, I'm so glad I went through this. And Ryan Reynolds is saying basically the same thing, which is, you know, something that he felt was a hindrance, was a handicap, is actually a great blessing for him. And I'm sure, right? He is operating at such a high level. He's using his intelligence for him. Now, the second thing I'll mention is what he talks about it being genetic. This is one thing I disagree with Ryan Reynolds on, because this idea that anxiety is a chemical imbalance is misleading. You know, people are taking more antidepressants than ever. It's not reducing the anxiety rates. In fact, the issue isn't that people are experiencing anxiety, but they have a maladaptive response to the anxiety, which fuels the anxiety. This isn't an issue with, you know, genetics. And going down this route of saying, oh, this might be a genetic thing. The problem is when you say it's a genetic thing, okay, now what do you do, right? So many people were told, like myself, oh, I'm having anxiety because it's a genetic issue and there's nothing you can do. And I couldn't tolerate that. And now, you know, I'm not dealing with any anxiety. I was able to respond. And now, you know, my mind, my intelligence, my anxiety works for me. And I'm able to apply it, you know, similar to, you know, Ryan Reynolds, although Ryan Reynolds does it probably at a way higher caliber than I do it.
I think it takes courage to speak about it. And it's helped a lot of people, because a lot of people come up to me talking about you.
Oh, wow.
And I say, shut up, I'm not interested. But they keep talking about you. But that a tracks. Lot of them will say that.
And I think the thing is that Ryan Reynolds is so, he's such a charming guy and he operates at such a high level that it's hard for people that are struggling with anxiety to see, well, look at this guy, you know, there's no way he's dealing with anxiety. But the truth is that it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what level you're operating in. If, you know, you don't understand how to respond, if you don't understand the mechanics of anxiety, you can be struggling with it too.
I had to make an uncomfortable phone call yesterday. And I actually just said to my son, I said, I've got to make this uncomfortable phone call. I'm a bit nervous about it. If I seem a bit off, well, that's why. And he goes,
oh, great. Oh.
And then he said, how did the call go, Dad? I said, I feel so much better.
So what Hugh Jackman is talking about is just being vulnerable in the moment. Vulnerability is expressing what you're feeling right now in this moment. That's all vulnerability is. A lot of anxiety sufferers will feel like they're burdening their family members because they're always talking about their anxiety. They're always trying to feel better by talking to somebody else for their anxiety. That is a little bit different than what Hugh Jackman is talking about. There's nothing wrong with talking and confiding to people about your anxiety, but it's important to recognize and ask yourself, what are the intentions of me bringing this up? Are you telling somebody about your anxiety because you want them to feel better? Because that is a form of neediness. Or is it an element of vulnerability? You just highlighting that you are experiencing anxiety symptoms, you're experiencing heightened anxiety and adrenaline surge, whatever it is right now, and that's it. You're just highlighting it and you don't need anything in return.
I read that you were overly sensitive and nervous as a kid and that you struggled with shyness and social anxiety. How bad was it?
I still struggle with those same things. As challenging as they are, and you know, they're also gifts that come with those things, you know, and
I do love how Ryan Reynolds always reframes this as a positive, and that's so important in the recovery journey. And Ryan Reynolds has truly reframed that and utilized it as a benefit. And it's just a choice. It's recognizing that you have that choice. You know, you can look at every anxiety symptom as something that's holding you back from living your life, or you can look at your anxiety symptoms as, you know, your anxiety teaching you how to respond to it so that you can focus on overcoming this.
That same sort of situation where you become kind of incredibly perceptive in ways in which you otherwise wouldn't, you know, you're all constantly kind of sensing, you know, both real danger and non-existent danger. So you're, you know, that.
Right. Exactly. Right. So the importance is discernment, being able to identify what's a real threat, what's a real stress and what's not. And when people are dealing with anxiety, they can't define that. They have a hard time discerning that. So for example, if you're dealing with heart palpitations, that's just a side effect of the anxiety, right? Assuming you've gotten everything ruled out. But with anxiety sufferers, they can't make that discernment. They're thinking their heart palpitations is truly the onset of a heart attack. And so it's important to recognize what's a real threat and what's an imagined threat. Once you can figure that out, once you have that discernment, then anxiety is like a strength, like what Ryan Reynolds was talking about.
Yeah, as a kid, it was tough. I was a kid. I had a lot of anxiety, a lot of different kind of phobias and issues that I had to sort of work through. And it took me a long time to kind of recognize those things as assets as opposed to liabilities.
What do you think?
Everybody that's on the recovery journey experiences the same thing, right? And then, you know, they go through the recovery journey and they come out of it and they're stronger and they're wiser and they're more resilient. And then they're like, oh, this was an asset all along. I just didn't know how to use it.
It stemmed from.
You're standing at that intersection of nature versus nurture. I think there's some of it was just genetics I was born with.
See, I think because people don't understand it that much, even the interviewer is asking, where did this come from? And I understand why people want to ask that because you want to know, right? If you know where this came from, maybe you can figure it out. But what made you fall into the cycle is oftentimes very irrelevant. It doesn't matter what made this happen. Was it something that happened, you know, recently, maybe something happened in your childhood, maybe this, maybe that, maybe it wasn't any of those things. Like for me, I didn't know what made me fall into the cycle. When I was struggling at the time, when I came out, I recognized there was a few habits that I had. But the point is, doesn't matter. The response is still the same, right? Recovery path is still the same. Focusing on the recovery journey is exactly the same. Doesn't matter if you fell in from, you know, smoking weed, which is really common, or if it's from a, you know, medical scare, the response is still the same. The principles still apply.
Vulnerability is beautiful and strong.
I didn't expect him to be talking about vulnerability, actually. I know I mentioned vulnerability earlier, too. I didn't realize that he also talks about vulnerability.
Weirdly, even though strength to some people might be anathema to vulnerability, I think like there's you know, you can't really have one without the other. I think we're sort of entering an age where, you know, people who don't talk about this, I mean, my father's generation, they never talked about mental health or what was going on inside. It was just bottle it up and, you know, and the younger generations, and hopefully the you know, my kids and their kids will, you know, have more open dialogues about this kind of stuff. And
yeah, I do think it was a generational thing. I think in previous generations, you know, this, you just didn't talk about it, right? It was just formality. There was also a different time, right? And so in today's day and age, you can be more expressive about it. I would like to see within the next, you know, 10, 20 years, not people just talking about it, but people having applicable steps on how to recover. Right now, I feel like we're in the era of mental health awareness.
Sort of, that's kind of the way out, is to feel, I always found like, when you feel like you're not alone at something, for some reason you can recover a lot faster, or you can see the light.
I love how he said that. That is true. I found the same thing. When you realize that other people have gone through this, and people are getting out of this, and you're around those types of people, you're able to come out a lot easier. It's very hard to come out of something when you feel like you're the only person doing it, right? And that was one unfortunate thing that I had, which was I just didn't have anybody. I paid a lot of money trying to find people. I couldn't find people that knew what it was like to go through this and come out of it. All I had were a couple of books from some people that had claimed to get out of it. But knowing people and reading a book by them, very, you know, two very different things. That's why when we created the mentorship and, you know, our anxiety recovery programs, community was such a big focus. And not just community of people struggling. I wanted people that have recovered. I wanted people that were well on their way to recovery. I wanted mentors that had gone through exactly what they'd gone through. And that's why it's so fast, right? That's why people get better so quickly.
Struggling with anxiety?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had anxiety my whole life, really.
I've heard this a lot, too. A lot of people talk about, you know, when they're, you know, when we're working with them that, you know, Sean, I've actually always realized now that I've always had anxiety. Now that I'm really going through this, I've always realized I had anxiety. There is a small nuance thing here. You might have felt anxiety when you were a little kid, much like you felt sadness, much like you felt happiness. So you've had moments in your life where you felt this. The only issue is that now, while you're in the cycle, this is all you're experiencing. All you're experiencing is anxiety. And then you look back at it and you're like, oh, I've actually had moments where I felt anxious before. That's not the same thing as you're experiencing anxiety since you were a kid. No, you've had moments in your life where you felt anxious, but you've also had moments in your life where you felt happy, where you felt sad, where you've, you know, felt anger. You know, just because you felt sadness since, you know, when you were a kid, doesn't mean you're dealing with depression now.
And, you know, I feel like I have two parts of my personality that one takes over when that happens. When I would go out on like Letterman back in the day, I would always be nervous. But I remember I'd be standing backstage before the curtain would open and I would think to myself, I'm going to die. I'm literally going to die here. Or the curtain's going to open and I'm just going to be a symphony of vomit.
He's talking about anticipatory anxiety, and that's what a lot of people experience. When I was dealing with anxiety, when I was going through the recovery journey, I remember I was giving presentations, and I felt similar to what Ryan was talking about, where I would experience such intense anxiety right before I would start, and I just thought it was just going to keep going. But anticipatory anxiety doesn't really work that way. What happens is once you start doing the action, whether you know it's going on Letterman or giving the presentation, the anxiety actually subsides. People think anxiety is going to keep going up like this, but it doesn't. After the anticipatory anxiety, it subsides on its own. So what do? Just keep moving forward, right? And, you know, he's mentioning he would throw up, you know, that's just anxious thoughts that's happening. They're just, you know, intrusive thoughts that are occurring. So I hope you enjoyed this video. If you want to get more resources on the recovery journey, I'll put a link down below, success stories, access to a blueprint that'll walk you through the steps, the ability to apply and work with us. And for more recovery videos, I'd highly recommend checking out this video on the screen. I'll see you in the next one.